today on Jeff's podcast.
No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's Isaiah 54, 17. One of the things about the human brain is that it's fallible. It's finite. Our mind can really play tricks on us, specifically our memory, because often our memory of something is not the same as it really was. Case in point, the children of Israel got out in the wilderness and they got tired of eating manna. And they said, "We remember the food that we used to eat in Egypt." Isn't it funny how they recalled the taste of the food, but not the pain of the whip of the slave master? You and I do the same thing. When we remember yesterday, sometimes we remember what we want to remember. And there are certain things that we've blocked out. My wife calls that selective memory, that I remember what I want to remember. Maybe there's some truth to that after all. But that's what we do. One of the things that God does in Scripture, and this is one of the things I love about Scripture, is that God is constantly reminding us of His promise. Because sometimes we just have to be reminded. It's the fallibility of the brain. Because even though God has answered prayer before, He's blessed you before, He's given you the victory and the upper hand against your adversary before, oh, how easily we forget. And we come to another fork in the road. We come to another battlefield. We come to another standoff with the enemy, and suddenly we have forgotten that He is the God that teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. We've forgotten that He is the God who causes us to run through a troop and leap over a wall. We have forgotten that He is the God of plenty, that He will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Suddenly, we have forgotten everything that God has done for us. Isn't it something how the brain works? And so God gives us reminders. And I'm thankful for the reminders that God gives us in His Word. Isaiah 54, that I quoted a verse from at the top of the podcast, is just that kind of reminder of the goodness of God. God is reminding Israel that He made a covenant with them and that He is going to honor that covenant with them. And if He will honor His promises and His covenant with Israel, He will honor His promises and covenant with you and I. So today I came to just give you a little reminder that God is good, that He knows where you are, He knows what you need, and He knows how to get it to you. And I want to convey to you that once He has given you victory in one battle, it is supposed to build your faith for the next battle. And that's the purpose of the reminder, for God to say, "Have I not told you that I will be with you wherever you go?" He told Jehoshaphat in the army, "You don't even need to fight in this battle. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch me do it." I want to talk to some of you today for the next few moments who feel like you need a reminder of the goodness of God. I want to talk to some of you who feel despondent, who feel rejected, who feel barren and lifeless, who feel as if God has forgotten you, who feel as if you are fighting your battle alone, and give you a reminder out of Isaiah 57. The context of this verse, specifically verse 17 that we always hear quoted, is that God is reminding Israel of the covenant, and he speaks to them, saying to them right off the bat in verse 1, "Sing, O barren woman, you who have not borne children, break forth into singing, cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than of the married wife." He said, "Enlarge the place of your tent and stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." This is a beautiful piece of prophecy, a beautifully written piece of heavenly poetry, if you will. God speaking to Israel, knowing they feel barren, knowing they feel forgotten, knowing that they are not thinking about how God delivered them by a strong right hand out of Egypt, knowing that they're not thinking about all of the miracles that he performed in the wilderness to bring them through and to bring them out, knowing that they're not thinking about all the times that God gave them victory over their enemies, but they're experiencing the judgment of God for their disobedience, and they feel like a barren woman. There's no fruit. There's no life. They're walking in shame. A woman in the Old Testament who couldn't bear children was a woman who felt shrouded in shame that she could not fulfill her purpose of bearing a child. And so there was rejection involved. A woman who could not bear a child was often rejected. And so God is speaking to Israel as this bride who is barren, cannot bear children, is not fruitful, is not multiplying, is not accepted, but is feeling shame and rejection. And he says, the time of your barrenness is coming to an end. He's reminding them of all of the promises and the covenant that he made with them. Sometimes I need that reminder. And I think if you were honest, you would admit that you need that reminder too. You need God to remind you that no matter how desolate you feel today, no matter how fruitless and worthless and empty and dry and barren you feel at this very moment, that God has not forgotten you, and he has not forgotten the promises that he's made to you, and he will fulfill those promises. This isn't just a preacher talking. This is somebody who loves God, who walks with God on a daily basis, someone with an infallible brain and a finite imagination. And my brain plays tricks on me just like it does you. And sometimes I forget that had it not been for the Lord who is on my side, I wouldn't be where I am today. Sometimes I forget when I've been in lack, it's been he who has been my source every single time. And when you forget what God has done, you panic when you come to another battlefield. And God is saying to you today, I'm still the God. I'm the God of your fathers and grandfathers. I'm the God of the generations before you who have walked in my blessing and walked in my word and walked in my peace and protection. It's a reminder. God is reminding Israel, I haven't forgotten you, and it's time to prepare for the blessing. Now, you know, it's easy for me to say, you're coming into a new season, and you need to get ready. You need to enlarge the place of your tent like the barren woman in the first few verses of Isaiah 54. It's easy for me to say that to you. God's going to bless you. God's going to come through for you. It's going to be all right. If you were here and I could pat you on the back and say, it's going to be all right. It's easy for me to say that. It's another thing for me to prophesy it over you. Listen, prophecy is not just foretelling what is to come. It is declaring the word of the Lord. And sometimes it is a prophetic unction that comes upon you to declare the works of God that he's already done to remind you, to quicken your spirit, and as equally important, to quicken your mind and your memory. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the works of the Lord. Faith building is about remembering what God has already done, that God has a track record, that He hasn't forgotten about you, that He hasn't put you on the shelf, that your blessings have not expired, that your promises are not out of date, and there is no statute of limitations upon which God can relinquish His promises or retract His covenant with you. God is faithful to what He says. He tells Israel, not only am I going to bless you with children, but I'm going to defeat your enemies. In Isaiah 54, a little bit later down in the passage, in the chapter, He says, your enemies will still come against you, but they'll not be effective. They're not going to stop fighting. I want you to know something. If you're waiting on the devil to stop coming against you, it's never going to happen. If you're waiting on your adversary to loosen his grip on his weapons, it's not going to happen. The enemy is never going to stop pressing you on every front. It's not going to happen. Now, God can give you rest from your adversary, but that doesn't mean He's going to stop. And so God tells Israel in the middle of Isaiah 54, the enemy is going to keep coming against you, but I am going to defeat the enemy before you. He said in verse 17, I know you've been waiting for verse 17. This is where the chapter ends. This is where the great promise comes about, that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against you will prosper. The word prosper there is also translated penetrate or succeed. No weapon or instrument that the enemy fashions against you shall prosper, shall penetrate, shall succeed. You may get struck, but you're not going to be penetrated by the weapons of the enemy. There are going to be weapons formed, and there are going to be weapons used, and you are going to be the target of the enemy. But no weapon that the enemy uses to target you is going to prosper or penetrate what? The armor of God. Ephesians 6, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies or the methods of the devil. There's something about armor that I find interesting. Armor is the very thing that shows the marks of battle. Now think about this for a moment. Armor shows the marks of battle. If you were to look at a soldier who is freshly equipped, who is squared away, who has not stepped on the battlefield yet, next to the battle-hardened soldier who has been on the business end of the spear and the sword, who has experienced the fire of warfare, you can tell the difference just by looking at them. How? Because one's armor has been tested and one's armor has not been tested. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the strategies and the methods of the enemy. Now, the methods of the enemy haven't changed. Satan is not a creator. Satan is a plagiarist. He is a counterfeiter. Everything that he does, every strategy, every plan, every method has never changed. He is not coming up with anything new. He is just repeating the same cycle, the same strategies, the same principles that he's used in his warfare against God's people since the garden. It's interesting to me that in the 17th verse of Isaiah 54, that there is a contrast or maybe a comparison and parallel to the weapons that are formed against us and the tongue that rises against us in condemnation. The word weapon and the word tongue are used in this passage, and I believe it is to be understood synonymously. James says that the tongue is an unruly evil and is set on the fire of hell. The tongue is one of the most piercing weapons that you and I can use. And the methods of the enemy haven't changed since Genesis. The method and the strategy of the enemy, one of the strategies of the enemy, is to use the tongue of those whom are close to you to penetrate your life. I want you to think about this. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau, how Jacob deceived his father, stole the birthright from his brother Esau. Think about this. David's two sons, Amnon and Absalom. Amnon did something horrible to his sister, and so Absalom came along and killed him. These are family members. The enemy has always been true to the method of using people that we are in relationship with, not necessarily just family members, but people whom we are close to use the weapon of their tongue against us. That's why it's important to understand that if you put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to withstand the strategies of the enemy. Coupled with Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, he didn't say the weapon wasn't going to be used. He didn't say the weapon wasn't going to be hurled in my direction. He didn't say that the trigger wasn't going to be pulled. He said that it wasn't going to penetrate. It wasn't going to penetrate because I'm wearing the armor of God. Are you listening to me? I know this is not typical of my normal weekly podcast, but I'm just throwing this out there and giving you something to chew on and slowing down just a little bit so that you hear the heart of what I'm saying. Let's go back to the two soldiers, the one who is brand new, the new recruit, next to the one who is battle-hardened. Battle-hardened simply means that someone is experienced at warfare, therefore can effectively fight a battle. Those two soldiers contrast each other in that one is battle-tested and battle-hardened and the other is not, because one has had his armor tested and the other has not. One is like the new lieutenant coming out of West Point in an episode of one of my favorite World War II cinematic masterpieces, The Band of Brothers. A brand new lieutenant, never seen a day of combat, just joining the company out of West Point. And as he is being taken to supply by one of the sergeants, the sergeant whom he outranks, but this sergeant has been in the company since D-Day when they landed on the beaches of Normandy. And as he is going to supply in this town that they have taken captive, a shell explodes, and the new lieutenant, the brand new lieutenant who's never seen a day of combat, ducks and grabs his helmet, and the sergeant never flinches, never misses a beat, and says, "That was one of ours." See, that's the difference between someone who has experienced battle and someone who has not. The one who has experienced battle can tell in the spirit what is going on. Some of you have fought battles. You've got some miles under your belt. You've got some life experience, and you've fought the devil before under the power of God and won. You've experienced the blows of the enemy. You've been knocked down, but you weren't out. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. And because of that, now shells can go off near your head. You don't even flinch because you are battle hardened. You can tell by the Spirit what to do and when to do it and how to pray and how to fight back. And the schemes of the enemy, you have come to know them by heart. You know exactly what the devil's going to do and when he's going to do it. Why is that? Because his methods haven't changed. And when you are wearing the whole armor of God, you can withstand the methods and the strategies of the enemy, and you know that none of the weapons he uses is going to penetrate your armor. Sometimes we need to be reminded that our armor has been battle-tested, and God has proven himself faithful. And there's no reason to get upset, and there's no reason to get anxious, and there's no reason to let ourselves get worked into a frenzy and bent out of shape when trouble comes, because God has been faithful to us. He's been faithful. Sometimes we need God to remind us, as he did Israel in Isaiah 54, I've already given you the victory. I've made a covenant with you. We are in relationship. And I've made you a promise that I'm going to give you fruit. I'm going to give you children. I'm going to enlarge the place of your habitation. I'm going to enlarge your territory. And the enemy's going to try to fight. And he's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm not going to let him do it. They'll gather against you, but they won't prevail. And no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Let me give you just a little piece of advice. Do you want to get to the place where what people say don't bother you anymore? Do you want to become spiritually mature enough to let the words of men run off of you like water off a duck's back, so to speak? Do you want to be able to have that hard-skinned mentality? I have big shoulders. I can take it. Nothing you say is going to knock me off course. Nothing you say is going to penetrate my armor. Now, here is where it gets interesting. Here's where I want to dissect it for you very quickly. Listen to what I'm saying. The battle-hardened soldier has chinks in his armor. His uniform is torn. There may be the scorch of flame on his armor. There may be blood on his armor. Because the weapons have beat up the armor, but have not penetrated the armor. You say, well, Jeff, people say things, people close to me, they've said things that hurt me. If that weapon was not going to prosper, why has it hurt to hear what people have said to me and about me? Here it is right here. This is a lesson I've had to learn the hard way. Are you ready? God never promised that the weapons or the tongue of man wouldn't pierce your ego. He never promised that the weapons of man, the tongue of man, the words of man would never pierce your pride, your flesh. but your spirit is protected. No weapon, no tongue, no weapon that is formed against you will penetrate into your spirit. Why? Because centuries later, Paul said, the armor of God is on you. And Paul said that after the battle is over, if you wear the armor of God, after the battle's over, you'll be standing strong. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. The man who has seen combat, who is battle-hardened, whose armor is scorched with flame and dented from the striking of the spear, is the soldier whose pride has been stripped away, a soldier whose his ignorance has been pierced. His ego has been pierced, but his armor's never been penetrated. Somebody who's been through a battle, let me tell you something. Somebody who's been through a battle in the spirit is someone who is no longer operating by ego and pride and arrogance and feeling. We got to stop fighting battles based on feeling and fight them based on the Word of God. And if you've ever been in a fight, if you've ever fought hell for your life or your family, then your armor has been scorched by the fire of hell, and your armor has been dented by the spears and the arrows of the adversary, the strategies and the method. And it may have pierced your flesh. It may have pierced your ego. It may have pierced your feelings. It may have pierced your pride. But it has never pierced your heart. I want to remind you today, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It's late in the evening. It's probably around midnight right now as I'm recording this. In fact, just to be transparent with you, I was already in the bed this evening, and the Lord would not allow me to get away from Isaiah 54. I had to share it. I had to get the word out. Sometimes, some of you, if you're a preacher, you understand when there is a word stirring in you, it's for somebody. And the longer you hold that word, the heavier it gets. And you have to release that word. It's a burden you're carrying for somebody. And I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. You're going to be watching this perhaps in the middle of the day as I record this. It's late at night. I don't know who you are, where you are, what you're going through, but I believe God gave me this as a burden for somebody who's going to watch or listen to this podcast, and He's going to remind you, He's going to quicken your spirit and your mind to remind you to build your faith. I'm still God. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I've been faithful thus far. I am not about to start now to relinquish and retract my promises. He is not a man that he should lie. His promises are yes and amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. One version called it God's body armor. I love that. I love that, the way that's worded. Because, you know, you and I don't know what it's like to wear a coat of armor as they did and as the Roman soldiers did in their time. But I know what it's like to wear body armor. I wore it every day when I was in law enforcement. And it was hot and sweaty sometimes. And luckily, I never had my armor, my body armor, battle tested. But there have been those who have, and they will attest that when a projectile hits the vest, that while it won't penetrate, you'll still feel the blow, and you'll probably have a bruise. It can break a rib. You can get on YouTube and you can Google bulletproof vest or body armor tests, and you can watch videos of body armor not being worn, but body armor being tested against a firearm projectile. And I want to remind you, even though you're feeling the blows, you're feeling the pressure, and you're feeling the hit in your spirit, as the enemy keeps firing away at you, know this, that the weapons of the enemy will not pierce God's body armor. You're protected. You can get through this battle you're going through right now. You can make it. You don't have to give up. You don't have to quit. You don't have to lay down and die. Keep fighting. Remember every battle God's brought you through. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. You've got the right to use the name of Jesus. Use it. You've been made a conqueror in Jesus' name. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.